Many counted us out. They said we could not do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio App. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android, or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! In your face!
This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO queen.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google page one? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
Hello, this is Lady Z, the violinist. I'm coming to you because I want to encourage you to get your copy of Elevate. It's available on Apple Music and iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. So if you're listening to this on your computer or your cell phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, you can get your copy of this song, this show's theme song, by just going to Apple Music, Amazon, or Google Play and get it today. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secrets of success in technology, music, and business on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music and learn the secrets to success in music, business, and technology. Please follow us online at www.ladyz.com and on all social networks at Lady Z. My next guest is an author, a speaker. She is extremely resourceful and knowledgeable. She's an entrepreneur, and she actually owned a bookstore in Atlanta, Georgia, called the Quantum Leap Spiritual Store, and is a treasure trove of knowledge. And I would like to introduce to some and present to others, Radine America, the author of the book, The Black American Handbook for Survival Through the 21st Century, Volume 1, The Forgotten Truth Behind Racism in America. How are you? Radine America.
Okay, well, I'm very, very well, and thank you for having me on your show. It's Radine. It's my birth name. It's a Algonquin name of the Cherokee people, and it's been my name for all these years of my life.
Radine. Am I saying it right now?
To help people with it in the States, It's R-A, capital D-I-N-E. And just one other correction. I'm the author of many books, and the book we're talking about today is The Black Americas, Handbook for Survival Through the 21st Century, The Secret Heritage of America, The Forgotten Truth Behind Racism. And I just wanted to get that clear, because there are other books that have kind of mismatched my name. And I, this book is the last volume, the final edition, and it's been out since 1999.
Okay, awesome. Awesome, Radine. I'm saying your name correctly, right? Did I say it right this time?
Yes, you did.
Okay, I made a note to myself. I said R-A-H-D-Y-N-E phonetically, so I remember Radine.
Go for it.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I said it correctly.
That's a
really
good idea.
So what made you start your bookstore so many years ago?
Oh, wow. Well, Quantum Leap Spiritual Life Center opened in Atlanta, Georgia, on Ponce de Leon Avenue in 1990, I believe, six. And I opened it because we did not have a place for Amerindian people to practice our original ways of dealing with the energies of life. And today people use the word spirituality, but it was a part. You know, everything on the planet has a duality. And that's something we don't talk about in the States much, but it's common knowledge around the world. And so when we were forced to adopt Christianity, the way we used to do things to bring forth change in our lives and to raise our life vibration or life waves was through the use of the elements. And the stores that used to do that were disappearing, and they've kind of got into a dark side. You know, people go voodoo and all of that stuff. And it really wasn't dark. It was a feminine art that females used to help break knots of energy, which create challenges or oppositions to a situation. And through doing this, it opened it up and allowed the highest good to come out and to allow it to flow. And so I'm from New York, and when after my son died, I had really, really learned how to work with the elements of life. And I was very, very well known in New York for doing spiritual work. And I really felt that there was a need in our community in Atlanta to have that available and to start teaching our people again how they can change negative situations that are going against them and be able to flow with it and ride with it to its highest good. So Quantum Leap Spiritual Life Center was open, and at the center, we were open to the public. We offered everything. We had the largest religious library, international library in the city, in the back, and we had books from A to Z, from occultism to all the religions, including paganism. We had books on all forms of life conscious life awareness, as well as how to do books. And we were very busy. And at one time, our store was considered the enchanting light of Ponce de Leon, because so many Ponce de Leon at night can become what we would call a pretty shady area. And it's in downtown Atlanta. The people, we always have a pyramid with a candle in the pyramid showing, connecting all the dots of all the knowledge. And people would come, and we didn't know this because we closed at 6 p.m., but people would actually come and pray. The streetwalkers and the people who were homeless and what have you, when they would come out at night, they would come and they would pray at the window and pray that they would not be hurt or maimed or harmed, and they would get what they need. And this became a real big thing to the point where the Atlanta Constitution wrote about it, that there would be these people praying at the store. Now, mind you, we're not there. So this is not something I'm doing. This is something that the energy itself is emanating from the store, storefront window. And they wrote about the beacon of light that emanating constantly on. So they were really happy we were there. And because we were offering so much upliftment without actually being there physically to offer the upliftment for the people who came out at night.
Wow, that's amazing. So time has went on, and you mentioned to me before that you had a chance to present, make a presentation to the UN. So how did that come about?
Oh, wow, that's a big jump.
I know that is a big jump. I have a lot of questions.
Right? Okay, let me see.
I'm going to tie it together.
The United Nations, I went to the United Nations in 2003 for representation for the Negro people of America as a part of the Indigenous people of America. I was part of the Indigenous delegation because it's as secret as it's kept. We were here before Columbus. And we had started the movement. We were here before Columbus in 1999, the first series of the Black American Handbook for Survival Through the 21st Century came out. And it got a very, very interesting response. But we got cut down. We got blocked. We couldn't get on the airwaves. If you put us on the airwaves, the show would be cut. The United States would cut the airwaves, FCC. I mean, and at that time, we really didn't know how powerful what we were saying was, that we are America was, and that a lot of your elders who were alive then, and they would call in real quick. I mean, the lines would light up and say, no, she's right. Listen to her. We're the Indians. America is us. Because you had all this propaganda and this new narrative that was building, that we were from a foreign continent and we were brought here against our will by force to be slaves in the United States. And they were saying, no, that's not true. And that the only contribution we collectively, now mind you, at the time you're talking about 70 million people, only contribution they've made here is being slaves to foreigners that have come and established a corporate state called the United States on our soil. And so, it got a lot of pushback as far as getting momentum. It went against the Afrocentrics, who were making their money promoting us as immigrants into America instead of being the actual inheritors. So from doing that work, I ended up going to the United Nations. Actually, the wonderful country of Panama agreed that this needed to be dealt with at the time, there were no people of color, none being represented at the United Nations. Okay, so now the whole Western Hemisphere and all the people who are part of America, were indigenous people, were being labeled Negroes, Negritos, and we were being excluded. So here I am, a part of of working on the draft. Well, at the time, it was a draft, but the draft legislation for the UN Declaration for Indigenous Rights.
Wow. So that was the UN Declaration for Indigenous Rights, and you had the opportunity to be a part of that process coming to the fore at the UN. That's amazing.
I was a part of the process from 2004 to 2011 when it was finally ratified.
So what was that process, you know, the ratification process through the UN? What was that like?
Well, what it was like,
mm-hmm.
Well, other than being giving me tremendous insight on what actually is imperialism, how it works, how we fit and don't fit in, and where we actually are, it was phenomenal. As far as understanding that if we as a people do not stand for anything, we're not going to receive anything. And understanding that people who follow patriarchy is not what we think it is. It is colonialism. That as long as we, especially females, do not speak our truth, we will not be able to live on our planet, on our soil, with any. So it opened the door for us to see, for me to see, all the different people who are under attack. We are not alone. We are one of the largest, well, we used to be one of the largest populations, the last largest population in the Americas of Negro or Amerindian people is Brazil, and they're under severe attack also. But all people who carry the blood of America, who are part of the soul of America, and as a part of its soil, S-O-I-L, that's why we have the colors we have and the texture of hair we have, are under extinction. And they are constantly influencing us and giving us false narratives so that we will not stand in our truth, in which the planet itself, the power we have in itself, will rectify the wrongs of the past. So it was very interesting watching how this dance continues to go. You know, we're going to give you a little bit, and because we know if we don't give you something, you're not going to continue to swing. We also know swing and follow the narratives, the artificial narratives. If we also understand that the only people who can keep the earth from totally destroying humanity is the indigenous people who carry the helix and the blood of the earth sections in which they belong to. So one minute they telling you, you know, you're expendable. The next minute they're saying, well, you're not. We can't live here if you can't serve your purpose. So the goal is to get rid of you, to keep it so that we can control you. We must keep you from actively serving your purpose. And so all the laws that are made are for people who are serving and returning to their purpose of as indigenous people, not for the people who have been miseducated and assimilated into following an artificial narrative. And they don't force the artificial narrative on you. They're always influencing you, cajoling you, getting you to passively comply. And become complacent makes you compliant to the wrong that is being done to you. And that's a whole show in itself on how we become complicit in our own self-destruction.
Well, I think what you're talking about is really interesting. I remember years ago on the Queen Mary, I live in Long Beach, I had the opportunity to see a Russian exhibit, and I was shocked to see that in Russia that there were so many melanated people, there. And, you know, what you're talking about is definitely something that's true. I mean, I've seen tons of documentaries and just tons of evidence about Indigenous people worldwide of them being a melanated people. And so why do you think that this false narrative has taken root so deep within our society?
Well, actually, the society, in order for us to cover how the society started, you need that false narrative to keep it going. We're more enslaved now than our ancestors ever were.
And why do you think that?
Oh, no, because when you do any research on slavery, I mean, actual laws, slave laws, you're going to find that slavery was mainly about females and mm-hmm. the children of females. As though we carry the blood of America, we also make the people of America. There is no male that did not come from a female.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, we've lost that. So it is the male's job to protect the females of his blood and from which he came. Do you see that going on anywhere?
No, that sense of duty is...
No, you don't see it. And not only you don't see it, but when you listen to the narrative, you know, I always ask people, you need to think, if we are such a forced people, why would we fight in a Vietnam War? Why did we fight in a war against our own selves? Why would I pick up a gun and shoot somebody who has never shot me, who has never caused me harm, and pick up a gun and help my enemies keep control over me?
Right.
You know, so to me, the only real leader we've ever had that has ever stood for anything is Muhammad Ali. He stood on principle. And when he stood on principle, they took away his material, what have you, but he came out on the end on top.
Right. Okay. When you were talking about that, that's immediately who I was thinking of.
He was a sentinel. He stood in the principle of truth. And so the question then becomes, why aren't we standing in the principle of truth? And that, again, is another show.
Right. So,
because if I opened up the bag of worms now, you're going to ask, you think you got questions now, and we'll answer them, and you're not going to like what you see. So to help people start to understand and to go back to the beginning, from the first time they made a deal, I put it all in the book, the Black America's Handbook for Survival Through the 21st Century. And somebody on one of the positive reviews I got, I was told that it had more, this is the most informative book on the whole web. Because the whole book is based on questions and answers. There was no way we could tackle this. Just question and then answering it and giving you the documentation and blah, 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 blah. Then you start understanding what kind of game is being played and how we have become complicit to our own extermination.
Wow. So what motivated you to write this book, the Black America's Handbook for Survival Through the 21st Century?
Well, I went to jail for standing up for my truth. And over a dog, believe it or not. And it happened in Fayetteville, Georgia. And I would not let the judge railroad me into a felony. It wasn't a felony. My dog broke his leash and ran around, and the neighbor called on the dog, and they gave me a ticket, and I showed up with the dog, and we couldn't catch the dog because he was running. So it turned into something simple, turned into a fiasco. And, but when I went back to defend my right to the dog, the judge had the audacity to tell me about Abraham Lincoln. Did I remember who Abraham Lincoln was and what he did for me? And I clarified to the judge what Abraham Lincoln was, what he actually did and did not do. Because we're under this illusion that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, and that's not true. The children who were being enslaved as a result of their mother's captivity revolted along with the other states that were revolting against having the type of plantation system. The Civil War wasn't over slavery. It was over what type of enforced servitude you were going to apply through this newly formed country called the United States. And they fought. And so they freed themselves. When they no longer participated in the old form of enslavement that was being applied through the societal hegemony. Now, the slave laws have not ever went off the books. And if you study slavery, you're going to find that an Amerindian female could never be free. To this day, we, the females of America, are not actually a part of the United States. We are under captivity. That is the reason why when you have a baby, they want to give you a birth certificate. And then they take your baby with that certificate and makes it a part of the property of the United States. So with all of this knowledge, you know, I hit the judge, and he just wasn't used to having somebody know more about the story than he does. And it's not that he doesn't know. It was that he did not want someone to speak up, and I did. And when I was leaving the well, they captured me. And I was in jail for a week with no bond, no bail, no bond. In lieu of a dog.
Wow.
And so this was about to get real, real ugly. It was about to, you know, and in the process, I was let go because they couldn't hold me for so long because I wasn't going to go international with it because it's against my human and civil rights. It's against it's a crime against humanity. So here we are standing up to a judge in Fayetteville, Georgia. And after I got out of jail, I needed to make a difference. This can't walk. You just can't enslave me and do this to people who don't understand their right. And in order for you to understand a right, you must understand who you are and what that means and what's the pros and cons of it. Then at that point, you can fight the system that is being applied against you. And when I went to start doing that, that's when I started realizing how the education system had really, really, really given us a narrative and a paradigm that didn't allow us to think freely. And then that's where you go back to the book by Carter G. Woodson, The Miseducation of the Negro, and how there needed to be something that people could understand that there was a reason why they were alive. There was a reason why, you know, everybody was against your mother and your mother had to constantly be in this bubble and where she couldn't assert her power. You know, why are we all raised to hate our mothers? You know, to disrespect them, to see them as inferior. And that has an effect on what we are as people and our self-esteem on what we can do with life. So we have an issue with life because we feel we're born without equality. when in fact is we are the equality. Everybody's trying to be like us. We don't have to be like anything. Everything on in the United States is trying to be like us and is stealing and robbing and corrupting what our nature and expression as a part of nature is. And that's what brought that book out. There was no way I could tackle the level of knowledge that I was gaining when I really understood that, you know, just a few years ago, it may be about 3 or 4 now, a young lady, a sister was put to death. She was given the death, a life sentence, death. They put her to sleep. They executed her. I think this was in Georgia. She didn't kill anybody. She did not. She had nothing to do directly with the murder that commenced. She was not a part of it, nothing like that. She had moved on. She had gotten remarried, moved forward. Because of the adultery she had while she was married to the victim who ended up being murdered, who ended up being killed, they gave her the death sentence. And the man who actually murdered the guy, they let him free. I think he's out now.
Wait, what?
Yes. Yes. The cardinal, the pope, everybody was saying, well, no, she shouldn't die. Let it go. You know, she shouldn't be. I think she had just had a baby, too. And
wow.
She got the death penalty. Now, normally, you hear people talking about they're on death row 30 years, 20 years before their death sentence came. And guess how long it took her to get to the chamber?
How long did it take?
Less than 5 years.
Wow.
They quickly executed her.
Eesh.
While everything was still quickly executed this woman who actually did not kill anybody, but because the reason why her ex-husband is dead now, because the ex-husband saw the boyfriend and they got in an altercation and the boyfriend ended up killing the ex-husband. And there wouldn't have been no altercation between bad blood between the two of them was because the ex-husband knew that the guy was having a relationship with his wife while they were still married.
That's bananas.
And she didn't, now mind you, she's not with the boyfriend. She had moved on, she got a whole new relationship, started a whole new life, and this boogaboo came back that them two got finally saw each other, got into an argument or whatever, and one killed the other. They dragged her into court and put her on, I think one of the charges were conspiracy.
Wow, that's right. I've never heard of anybody being executed that fast.
That's the problem. See, we don't hear about when females are put in jail because we are totally out of the picture. And that's what I learned when I went through, after I got a jail and I went to the NAACP, you know, I got the papers together. I still got the papers. You know, this is a great case to a civil rights case. You know, you can't put a person in jail and put them in lieu of an animal. It's actually against United States law. But this is all that was happening. And I was blatantly told, you know, I even went to Johnny Cochran. This happened in Fayetteville, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta. I went to Johnny Cochran and all of it, and I got a rude awakening that putting me to death, causing me harm, that they could not prosecute nor represent me. They could not do nothing for me. I said, what do you mean? No, you couldn't. They would not do anything for me. I am not an actual citizen of the United States. We are property. this happened in 19, no, this happened in 2000, 20 years ago. And that's what started me doing the research. That's really what kicked everything off. I said, what? Oh, no. You know, your cases are not something we defend. And then I thought about it and started looking. Yeah, there's a whole lot of lists of stuff, but you never see them running and charging about, let's set a female free.
Wow. So
you don't see them defending us. You only see them defending males. Mm-hmm. Because males, Amerindian males, are actually the only real citizens. So you have Amerindian males, European females, and European men. That's it. You and I and the children we birth, because we create the new life, are actually enemies of the state, and we are to always live under captivity, which is the captivity of patriarchy, because patriarchy is colonialism. And when you read the book, I actually break all of these terms down right from the dictionary, give you what they are, and how they all interconnect in the verbal game. But you never hear anything about what happens to sisters. You know, and through the draft declaration, I was able to understand how foster care is actually a form of warfare, to making sure that we don't build our families. I mean, it's just wow. And we're thinking all of this stuff is just, that's, you know, for us. It's not. It's actually to keep us broken up, to keep our communities broken up. It's a part of racism. It's a part of systematic genocide.
Wow. Wow. Whew, that's deep. So your book, and I know it's available on Amazon. What else? What other misconceptions does your book illuminate and address?
Well, it addresses like about 500 of them. It gives you an understanding of what kind of culture we had. It gives you an understanding of name terminologies and why names are form of warfare. It gives you the international understanding of what is genocide. It gives you and we start breaking down piece by piece who we are, what these different terminologies that we were raised with are, when things changed. Because it didn't just happen in a day. Nothing happened in a day. Just like right now, we're talking about Oklahoma, how the United Supreme Court Friday granted the treaty that was with the Negro people, because Oklahoma was supposed to be our state, to Native Americans. And they can do that because now the word Negro, through Barack Obama, is no longer an ethnic identity. The ethnic identity now for our people is African American, which we didn't vote for. But there are no treaties with African Americans. So everything that we have done for the last 200 years as Negro people has now been cleaned out. So the Supreme Court gave the state of Oklahoma the territories that we have, because Oklahoma originally, the whole state was ours. And that was the exchange that our ancestors made, who chose to stay with the ancestral culture and live within the ancestral culture. And the ones who chose to be with the United States got the eastern, from Mississippi to the eastern seaboard, became their territories to implement the United States patriarchal system. And our ancestors were just as complicit. And the Trail of Tears is about our people marching and leaving their soil to go to another section of America, which we call Oklahoma today. The Supreme Court just took that treaty and announced that the Muscogee Creek people, and those are two separate peoples, but not the Muscogees, but actually the Creek tribe, had jurisdiction over the land because it's their land. Now, why is that a big thing? Well, there's a difference between Muscogee and Creek. Muscogee people are the people who are born by the women, from the females and males of the people who were indigenous in the at the coast of Georgia. In some part, today we call it Georgia, South Carolina, a little bit into Florida, but that whole coastal area, okay, was a group of people, a large group of people, all the way to the probably about the inland, the middle of South Carolina, going into, you got Augusta, Atkins, all of that was Muscogee, going into towards inland. And not as far as Atlanta on Georgia, but by the Georgia coast. Because Georgia, the states are cut in a little bit funny kind of ways. And those people who did not want to become a part of the United States made up the Trail of Tears. Now, the Muscogee people are part of the Cherokee Nation. You have the Choctaw, the Seminoles, the Muscogee. You have the five civilized tribes, Chickasaw, Cherokee, Choctaw, Seminole. I'm missing one. I can't think of it right now. All of them make up the Cherokee Nation. We were a nation of people. The nation went from the Black Mountains all the way to the Eastern Seaboard, which would comprise of all your, from Ohio, up there by the Great Lakes, all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico, through New Mexico. All of that was under that nation. That was that nation's territory. The Supreme Court, we moved, the people who didn't want to be a part of it, had made up a state called Oklahoma. And if you ever go into Oklahoma history, you see Tulsa. Tulsa is an Algonquin term. And they made up their cities and towns and what have you in Oklahoma. And the ones who wanted to be a part of the United States stayed on the other side of the Mississippi. And this was like in 1836 to 1868. When Tulsa was bombed. They bombed Tulsa because it was an indigenous city. Because we talk of Black Wall Street as if there was just one. There were a lot of Black Wall Streets.
You're cutting in and out. Say that one more time. You're cutting in and out. Say that one more time.
I said there was a lot of Black Wall Streets that we call Black Wall Street or exchange centers, and in those days. And so when they bombed Tulsa, they didn't bomb Tulsa because there was a bunch of white people living there who called themselves Indians, and the other whites who came from Europe bombed the other whites. It was because they were Indians living as Negroes. They were participating in the European trade of exchange. And because they had the oil, they had the natural resources, they know how to grow the food, they knew everything, they knew how to build, they knew how to do everything, that they were bombed. And when they bombed them, they bombed the buildings that they built, the houses that they had, the churches that they created. They went and they swiftly took killed the people who owned the soil for the oil fields that they had. And understanding Tulsa and that Oklahoma bombing will make it very clear to you that Tulsa and Oklahoma was not a Native American enclave. So you will say, well, what's the difference between the two words? The word Native American, in order to be a Native American legally, you must come from a Caucasian mother who can say that they came and settled here before United States was actually created, or she's a European woman with a Amerindian child, with an Amerindian father, who had a baby with what we would call today a black man. I call them Amerindians because black is a color and it's not an ethnic identity. So anybody can be black. So that's what it is. And that's even in the Constitution. So how can you, the courts give the soil that belongs to another people to these Native Americans who are not these people? They can do whatever they want to do if the people, one, don't speak up, and the people follow an artificial identity. So if they made that deal with Negroes and Indians, as though the word Negro and Indians as a American Indian as an ethnic identity has been erased from federal law, they can do whatever they want to do. Are you following any of what I'm saying?
Yes, I am following. I'm listening. This is fascinating. I want to go back to the Trail of Tears. You know, that's the actually fascinating time in history. And Andrew Jackson, I believe, was the president of the United States at that time.
That is correct.
And, you know, I think that's one of the most horrific genocidal events in American history. And
American history is a genocide.
It's true. I mean, it's so sad. And when I think about that history and just the languages and the laws, I want to ask you, are there treaties that have been made with Amerindian people that have been broken over time?
Of course, all Negro people, if you're an Amerindian, your code name is Negro.
Okay.
Now, the word Negro was originally given to Amerindian females in 1705. If you were an Amerindian female, whether you was free or living under captivity, you was called Negro. The males who followed the patriarchy that was being established in the United States were called American Indians. Got deep, didn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, this history is not being taught. I mean, it took HBO to come out with a series of Watchmen to even address, you know, the bombing of Wall Street. You know, this is something that mainstream media and entertainment has not addressed.
But that's not the only bombing.
Right. There's been a lot of bombings.
Like 32 bombings of our communities.
Do you document those in your book?
I don't document the bombing in this particular book. In the future books, we will. It is so much stuff. We have to create our own libraries. This book is the book that will give you the foundation so you start understanding what you see going on around you.
Right. So this changing of the narrative, what I like to call is propaganda. I like to call it propaganda.
Well, you're right.
It's so pervasive. It's you know, Edward Bernays is literally like, his mark on our society is felt minute by minute, moment by moment, every day. And, you know, this entire, you know, what does it mean to be, you know, a Negro, African-American, Black
American? No, don't mix the two together because they're not together.
Right. This is a conversation that is definitely warranted because there's a history of legal actions, laws, treaties that have bearing on us even today. And this is an important history to understand.
Well, it's actually your heritage. Mm-hmm. History is just what it says. It says his story. A history is a narrative. In international terms, history is propaganda and it's a weapon of war.
So what, because we're getting close to the end, I'm going to have you come on again. What can my listeners do to gain a greater understanding of their heritage?
Get the book. You can get it at Amazon. There's quite a few of them. We have the book, The Hidden Ancestral Identity of the American Negro, The Truth, Euro-America, Dare Not Tell. We have the story of the Anasazi peoples of America, the history of America that vanished. They can read, and each book deals with a certain aspect. The complete handbook is the most in-depth one. The Hidden Ancestral Identity of the Negro will break it down, what our identities are, legal term, legally, everything else, on what we are. Even Barack Obama calls us the children of America. Barack Obama, and we got a whole speech from Barack Obama talking to the NAACP about the children of America. So we thinking that this stuff is being hidden from us, and it is being hidden from the masses, but it's not hidden from us. Once you understand it, you're going to find that, oh, wow, people have been talking, using correct terminologies about us, but we don't use the terminologies because we're left in a vacuum of ignorance. So when people want to find out about yourself, those are the two basic books. Then read these books, then go read other books, and you're going to find like, oh, wow, she's telling us the truth. Yeah, it's there, but they cloak it. Or in different ways. For instance, as example of cloaking, you have this book by William Lauren Katz, Black Indian, A Hidden Heritage, okay? And he talks about the Indians too and says, well, Black Americans today would do well if they understood a little bit about who they are, you know? But he doesn't come out straightforward in his book and say, well, no, the people we call Negro are the Indians of America, and these are the people, soil, that we're building all our stuff on. He's not going to say that because then he will go against, and they would censure him. I don't have an allegiance to United States. I have an allegiance to the blood and the soil of my people. We are America. And so when I turned around and did that, it opened up a whole new world for all of us. We are much more empowered than we know. We do not have to get shot in the streets. We can be respected, but we cannot be respected living outside our truth.
Wow.
And so that book will help you get there.
That's powerful, what you just said. We cannot be respected living outside of our truth. Powerful. Powerful. Absolutely. Well, I have to say this is just a powerful interview, Radine and
Radine.
Oh my goodness, where's my notes? Radine. This has been a powerful interview, Radine. And you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge, where I have the author, Radine, who's written the Black America's Handbook for Survival Through the 21st Century. You can find this book on Amazon. I highly recommend it. And where else can people connect with you, Radine?
I'm so glad you said that. We have conversations with the Ambassador Radine America, here in West Virginia at our headquarters at UWAJA. You can find out more at www.fia, F as in Frank, I as in Indigo, A is in Apple, A is in Apple, H is in Harry.org, which represents the Foundation for Indigenous America of Anasazi Heritage. And you can get a lot of knowledge there. We have a big event coming up in August. We ask all Indigenous people to who know that there's more to them than meets the eye to come and commune with other kin folks here at UWAJA. August, it's for a whole week, August 8th to the 16th. And get in tune, be a part of the change. And that's what we have going on now. The conversation, we have conversation with America this weekend. It's in UWAJA, West Indies. Just go, not West Indies, West Virginia. Just go to the website, www.fia.org. And if you need to send an email, got questions, admin, the email is admin at FIA, F as in Frank, I as in Indigo, A as in Apple, A as in Apple, H as in Harry, .org. If you know that you're Indigenous and you know that you come from Indian grandmothers, you carry the blood, then you need to register with the America Heritage Registry, so that you can become a part of the people for the Declaration for Indigenous Rights, and which has been ratified by Barack Obama. He did this. And all of us people who are running around here using all these wrong terminologies, you're losing everything God gave you. And you're killing the future of the children that come behind us.
Wow, so powerful. And I encourage all my listeners to grab a copy of the book and to ask those questions, because, you know, we are in a pivotal moment in time. Where gaining a clear understanding of your heritage is very important. So you definitely want to check out the Black America's Handbook for Survival Through the 21st Century. Again, this is Lady Z. And you have been listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secrets to success in technology, music, and business on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes, Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music and learn the secrets to success in music, technology, and business. Please follow us online at www.ladyze and on all social networks. Now, you have been listening to my guest, who's a speaker, author, Radine America. So I want to make sure I spoke correctly here. So you have been listening to my guest, Radine America, and I want to say thank you so much for coming on to the show.
And thank you for giving me a chance to have an audience and reach the kinfolk. I hope you come in August, and look forward to being on your show again. Let's continue it.
Absolutely. Let's absolutely continue this dialogue. And until next time.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends, and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves, and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio App. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.